Good evening, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you. The title of my sermon is Living in God's Hands in Babylon. Daniel's still in Babylon, and so are we. Amen? We look at verse 11. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Now, by requesting not to eat from the king's table, Daniel is putting his life on the line. And not just his life, he's also putting Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's life on the line, as well as the chief eunuch who he's talking to. But Daniel was confident the Lord would bless him. John Gill writes, "Daniel, no doubt, in putting this matter on this issue, as it should turn out at the end of 10 days, had a revelation or assurance from God how it would be, or he never would have ventured to put it to such a trial. Daniel knew that God had his back, and he had courage to make the proposal to the chief official." Do we have this type of confidence in God, or are we lukewarm? Brandon Park writes, "Every denomination that has been focused on embracing the culture is either dead or declining. They have no spiritual power. Under the umbrella of American Christianity, you can really categorize us into one of two categories: nominal Christianity and convictional Christianity. Convictional Christians are those who call themselves Christian and they take it seriously. It governs how they live. They're actively pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nominal Christianity is on the decline. Nominal Christian means in name only. Those that are nominal Christians in name only are becoming the nuns." That's N-O-N-E-S. "Before, these people would say, 'I ascribe to the Christian faith,' but now they say, 'I ascribe to no faith,' or 'All roads lead to heaven.'" So they're nuns. They have no belief. And I think we all know people like that, right? But are we convictional Christians? Daniel was under great conviction in his relationship with God. As I stated last week, Daniel refused to back down on the essentials for the Jewish faith, and one of those was the dietary restrictions. But to us, eating the king's food would be a small thing. Right, Derek? We'd eat anything. Right? All right. The problem is, if Daniel gave in on this one point, he could easily slide down the slippery slope of Babylonian beliefs and end up denying God. Pastor Greg Laurie at Harvest America last week said, "We are either for Jesus or against Him. There is no in-between." Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And then in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." It's kind of interesting. I was talking to a guy today from the Dish Network. He's a salesman. He's really a good salesman, but he's a Christian also. And after we talked about business, he asked, the Lord's put it on his heart to talk to people about eternity, you know, like I've been talking about. And he had a guy that had some questions, and he wanted to know how to answer them. But I thought that was really cool that the guy is actively seeking to talk to people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. But the question is, are we nominal, convictional, or none? Satan is very subtle in tempting us. Matthew Henry said, "When God's people are in Babylon, like we are, they have need to take special care that they partake not in her sins. Providence seemed to lay this meat before them. Being captives, they must eat what they could get, and must not disoblige their masters. Yet if the command be against it, they must abide by that. They were jealous over themselves, lest, though it should not be sinful in itself, it should be an occasion of sin to them, lest by indulging their appetites with these dainties, they should grow sinful, voluptuous, and in love with the pleasures of Babylon. So it's easy to slip, okay? And especially with our culture, I was talking with Daryl before worship, the culture we have now, who created it? We allowed it, but media, well, Satan was ultimately behind it, but the media and Hollywood, and the universities, you can say, but aren't they the ones who actually created this culture that we're living in now, this paradise, okay? Strong influence. An influence, okay? And I think the revival has started, and I think people are waking up, because this is our measuring rod, right? This is our measuring rod now, the Word of God. Yeah. I think it's speeding their downfall. I think the American people are finally waking up. And the other thing I'll say, Pastor Perry said that he had, I think it was some evangelist said that the revival was going to start in Arizona. We had officially 38,000 people at Harvest America, but we've been to the Cardinal Stadium. There were people in the top decks, okay? So we've been there for, you know, the Rams-Cardinal game when there's 70,000. There had to be at least 50,000 people there, okay? But once again, don't believe the polling you see in the press, okay? But the fact that there's that many Christians on a Sunday going to another worship event says a lot about our society. The other thing is when you're driving home or you're driving to your other church, okay, Jack, look at how many churches there are in this town. It's amazing. And I think we're just kind of used to it, you know, but if you go to California or maybe in Texas they have this many churches, but we got churches everywhere, you know. Praise be to God, right? So maybe the revival is happening, all right? And it's a good thing because we have this influence, the cultural influence, and Satan is very subtle in leading us astray. I was preaching at the inmates today, and what we always tell them is that you got to get a new community. And that means, I showed them the video of Jennifer Irvin and Susanna Spiegel, which we have on our website. So if you're listening, you can check them out. But these two former inmates gave their testimonies, and it spoke to the inmates. Because when they leave, they'll go back home, and I said, you're going to have relatives that will, you know, hand you a beer or something. And one of the guys said, no, they'll give me a needle. They can't even go back to their families, okay? And that's what we tell them. You have to get a new community of faith. And I said, you'll be welcome at Amazing Grace, but go to a Bible-teaching church. You know, somewhere in the East Valley and stuff. But we need that because of this overwhelming influence, all right? Verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. While these youth, they obey God and they're delivered and blessed. What a coincidence, huh? Epicurus said, he that lives according to nature will never be poor, but he that lives according to opinion will never be rich. And isn't that the truth? If you live according to opinion, you can be blown by in any direction, all right? Roy C. Bennett said, there is a choice you have to make in everything you do, and you must always keep in mind the choice you make makes you, okay? So the choices we make ultimately make us, all right? Daniel and his friends chose to follow God, and what were the results? They were blessed and they had full lives, okay? Even in Babylon. They thrived in Babylon. What happens when we choose to follow God rather than the world? We're blessed, right? We're set free, right? And for Right. Well, we have the hope in Christ, and Christ is with us to carry us through those things. And He's always there to lean on, no matter how tough it gets. Right, Donna? And I remember, for those of us who have drinking problems in the past, it's only by the grace of God we're not in prison, you know. It's only by God's grace. Because there's many times where you've driven home and you can't even remember getting home, okay? So it's just by His grace. And one of the things that stuck out to me was Susanna Spiegel in her testimony said that she actually passed out behind the wheel of the car. She was doing drugs at the time. And she said she didn't even know. She ended up in the hospital. She said she didn't even know how the car stopped and was parked. Well, we know, okay. There are angels there, all right? But when we turn to God, we don't have to worry about that garbage, okay? To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Matthew Henry said they were sober and diligent, studied hard, and we may suppose their tutors, finding them of an uncommon capacity, took a great deal of pains with them. But after all, their achievements are ascribed to God only. And you'll see that time and time again in Daniel. He always says that it's because of God. They give God the glory, okay? It was He that gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom, for every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of the lights. It is the Lord our God that gives men power to get this wealth. The mind is furnished only by Him that formed it. Brothers and sisters, God has given us absolutely everything. He's given us absolutely everything. We are simply managers of His good gifts. And people will say, well, I went to school, I got a law degree, I got a medical degree, and I'm a doctor. Where did you get the mind to do that? Where did you get the funds where you could go to college? Okay. Things had to fall into place, and it's all from God. It's all from God. The question, though, is, are we using our gifts, our time, talent, and treasure to bring glory to God? Once again, in Matthew 25, Jesus said, they will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So God expects a response from us. Okay, He expects a response from us. We're supposed to live for His glory, and this is so countercultural. I'm reading a book on it right now about how countercultural the church's stance on homosexuality and abortion and that's countercultural. But what's really countercultural is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? Because what we're saying is we're sinners and we need a Savior, that the Savior came, He died and rose from the dead. You're not going to go to heaven unless you believe in Him. And there is a heaven and a hell. That's countercultural, right? But a lot of people kind of slip into it. Example is, by the way, we have some council members here, but I'm telling you, we're going to change things here. I came here, and the tradition has always been that you save your spare change, and once a month you put it into the offering for the food pantry, okay? You put it in for food hunger, or world hunger, or whatever. Your spare change. What's wrong with that? You're saying, God, I'm going to give you my spare change. And over the past year, I had somebody who, from time to time, people can't make it to church, so they give me their offering. One person gave me the coins to put into the food pantry. It was all pennies. If I don't say something about this, it's on me, all right? But if we want to help the poor, help the poor. Put some green in there. Not your spare change. And I don't care if you put your spare change in there, but put more, because we use that food bank to feed hungry people, right? And the scriptures say it's supposed to be, as an offering. So whoever started that, whatever pastor started it, it's not a bad thought, but at the same time, you're telling people to give God the leftovers. Is that what God's Word says? No. We're supposed to give them first fruits. Anyway, I got that off my chest, okay? So from now on, it's not spare change. You can put your spare change if you want, but put some green in, okay? Because put the change, yeah, or put the... Let it blow. I guess what happened is the person, wherever they went, they just got pennies for change, okay? But I'll just leave it at that, okay? Anyway, this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy, okay? But no more, okay? I got it off my chest, okay? So, Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Yudley says, this was a special gift from God that only Daniel of the four Jewish youth possessed. It was similar to Joseph's ability in interpreting Pharaoh's dream. God would use this gift to equip Daniel to receive his revelation, one, to pagan kings, two, to Daniel himself, and three, from angels. The rest of this book is based on these revelations and their interpretations. But God equipped Daniel to minister to a culture where dreams were a primary way of receiving information from the spiritual realm. And that's true even today. In the Middle East, and Bruce, you were in Turkey, dreams are important, okay? Dreams are important, and what has happened, tens of thousands of Muslims have come to Jesus Christ through dreams, where Jesus appears to them in dreams. One of them's on YouTube. He's a former ISIS leader, okay? And he was told to speak to this Christian, and he almost killed a Christian, but he didn't, okay? And he ended up converting, and he's converted all kinds of Muslims now, but it still happens today, okay? The Lord appears to people in dreams, and they'll speak to you in dreams. But once again, who gave Daniel this ability? God, all right? Over and over again. Verse 18, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into a service, which was 3 years. Remember, it took 3 years of Babylonian training from last week. The chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, so they entered the king's service. So after the 3 years of training, all the foreign youth are presented to the king. But Daniel and his friends outshine all the others. Yudley says, the Hebrew youth in their conversations with Nebuchadnezzar proved to be much better than one, the other youths from conquered countries who studied with them, and two, even all the established counselors, magicians, and conjurers. This recognition of the Hebrew youth's superiority over all the other Chaldean or Babylonian wise men will cause great jealousy. And we're going to see in this book, they try to kill him. These other counselors try to kill him, all right? That's how the conjurers and, yeah. Right, they're of Satan. So to kill someone who believes in God is not a bad thing for them, okay? George Orwell said, the further society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And isn't that the truth? Don't we see that now? Okay? If you speak the truth, you're a hater, right? And people jump all over you, all right? Does our society want to hear the truth? No. I believe our society is anti-Christian because we hold the truth of God's Word. And God's Word says we are sinners who need Jesus, that there is a heaven and a hell. And our culture says we are all basically good people, and that at death we either go to heaven or nowhere. That's pretty much what our culture tells us, right? They'll say, I don't know, but I think it's going to be good. You know? Greg Laurie, when he talked about this, mentioned William Shatner. You remember Captain Kirk, okay? And they interviewed Captain Kirk recently. He barely looks like Captain Kirk anymore. But anyway, what happened is what William Shatner said was that he wasn't sure what existed afterwards, and he felt that when he died, it was just all over. There was nothing. But talk about a life with no hope. This whole life is just about making Star Trek movies? I mean, is that it? Is that all there is? You know? It is sad. But he's not alone. There's people all over the place that believe that. But when it's over, we're done, right? What I told this guy, by the way, they want to talk about all the evil in the world and all that. You can talk about that and just say there's 7 billion sinners. We're all sinners. But what do you expect if you get 7 billion sinners together? There's going to be a lot of bad stuff happening. But that's the wrong question. The right question to start is, who is Jesus? So the person is asking you that, you should say, wrong question. I'm a Christian. The right question is, who is Jesus? And he's the only man who ever died and rose from the dead. So if you want to know about life after death, I can help you. All right? That's where we start. We start with Jesus and the resurrection. Okay? Because that can't be argued. All right? And they'll say it's a matter of your faith. No, it's based on historical fact. All right? And once again, the media will say, no, that's not true. It's just myth. No, the Bible's not myth. There's a lot of history in the Bible, but there's also secular sources that proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So Daniel was such a gifted counselor that it was a gifted counselor for not only Nebuchadnezzar, but for 70 years he was in the king's court. Even to Cyrus, the Persian, from another country, he was still a counselor. So for 70 years, it would be like being the advisor for the president for 70 years. Amazing. He was an amazing individual and blessed by God, right? And it's because of his relationship with God and his reliance on God. There are many times we see Daniel throw his life and future into the hands of God. And what are the results? He thrives in Babylon, and he thrives forever. What will happen if we put our lives and future into God's hands? In Babylon and forever, right? And we'll have peace. Brandon Park writes, show people that our God is still a God who can accomplish the impossible. But most people will never have the opportunity to prove God's faithfulness in the lion's den because they have not proved their faith in everyday life. They're not going to see God come through for them in a huge way financially because they haven't learned to trust Him with 10% of what they have. They're not going to see increased favor at work because they segregate God from their work. They're not going to see God use them in a powerful ways at their school because they live in such a way that no one knows they even believe in God. And remember, and this is what Daniel remembered, that God is in control of who is in control. God is in control of who is in control. So, Paul, your boss at SRP? It's God, all right? Because he controls the bosses, okay? And the same for you at Amazon, Derek, and Ricky, you at Quicken, okay? What's that? Okay. So you will bow to God, though, right? Okay. And what would you do without His power? Yeah. I don't want these two to go at it because we'll be here all night. All right. But I want to say this about these two young men, though. I've known them both since they were little. Okay. But I want to commend both of you. It's Father's Day this weekend. And you brought your kids to church. That's being a father, okay? That's being a father. is making God a priority in your life. Because if God is a priority in your guy's life, it's going to be a priority in Ariel and Derek and Richie's life. Okay? So I want to commend you. Amen? So today, let's put our lives and future in God's hands. And let's be convictional Christians.